We've heard a lot this week about US President Donald Trump's now infamous phone call with Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky back in July. But there's a curious side note to that call. During the conversation, President Trump asked Mr. Zelensky to look into a company called CrowdStrike, which had helped uncover the Russian hack of the Democrat Party in the 2016 presidential election. CrowdStrike's CEO, George Kurtz, is now in Australia. He's here to talk about cybersecurity. And our reporter, Tom Eagledon, asked whether he was surprised the president had mentioned his company.
What we focused on is actually stopping breaches irrespective of either party. And I think the work that we've done in the past, we certainly stand behind. And our goal is to really focus on protecting customers against breaches and not necessarily get into politics. So,
well, the facts are important here, irrespective of politics. And it seems that President Trump was driving in during that phone call at a theory that it was Ukrainians and not Russians that were behind the hack on the Democratic National Convention database and other parts of the Democratic Party that you helped to uncover. Can you assure us that that's not the case?
Well, you know, we've written an extensive blog that I would refer to, CrowdStrike.com. You can see the results that we published in 2016. And a lot of it obviously has been validated by the Intel community. And I think it really underscores the technology we've created to be able to identify these advanced adversaries.
So you have no doubt that it was a hack emanating from Russia?
It's been validated from the intelligence community. It's been part of a DOJ investigation, and we certainly stand behind the results and the report that we produced.
I wonder if I could ask you about another recent quote from this week, and that's from General Sir Nick Carter. He's the Chief of Defence Staff in Britain. Talking about cyber attacks in general, he said, "I feel I am now at war, but it's not a war in a way we would have defined it in the past." Do you feel like you're sometimes on the front lines of a war here?
Certainly nation state actors have you know, a very sophisticated tool set and many people to help implement these sort of attacks. And the other thing that we've seen, and we've called this out in some of our reporting, is this trickle-down effect where some of the techniques have trickled down into e-crime actors. And we've seen a real dramatic increase in e-crime, which leverages some of the advanced cyber weaponry that has come out of nation states and in particular, various exploits to be used to really implement very effective ransomware techniques and make a lot of money from it.
Who ultimately profits from that? Is this organized crime, a mafia-type organization, or is it smaller actors?
So if I'm a small actor, I can basically buy malware, I can buy a spamming service, I can buy a ransomware as a service, and I can put all that together for a few thousand dollars and make hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars. So you have small actors like that, all the way up to specific crime organizations, groups that come to work from, you know, 9 to 5 and have HR teams and have tech support lines, particularly helping people buy Bitcoin as an example. Most people who get hit by ransomware have never bought Bitcoin. They don't know how to do it. And in fact, many of these organizations have multi-language support to help guide a victim through buying Bitcoin and then being able to pay to get those files unlocked.
I guess the assumption is that those sorts of very sophisticated organizations are in countries outside, say, America or Australia. But is that necessarily the case?
The internet has no borders and e-crime is everywhere. I used to think in the old days that you'd have a pickpocket that could work a 4-block radius. Now you can have somebody sitting anywhere around the world, you know, in an internet cafe stealing millions upon millions of credit cards and making a lot of money from it.
Do these sorts of groups target only companies or sort of individuals, or do they target governments as well?
They target wherever the money's at. And if you look at governments in particular, and we've seen a lot of this in the U.S., state and local governments have been hit pretty hard from a ransomware perspective. If your police department or your fire department or your social services can't operate, lots of people are not happy about that. That's not great for getting reelected. So, and a lot of times the state and local governments don't have the same resources as the federal government, and they get hit by these sort of attacks and actually have to pay the ransom to get their files back. Oddly enough, we're seeing school districts get hit, particularly when school starts, because again, if your children can't go to school to learn because their systems are encrypted and teachers can't teach, that's not a great place to be when you have angry parents. So they typically have very little in the way of security, again, using signature-based technologies, and it's very easy for them to get infected, and lots of times they have to pay the ransom to get the school district up and running.
China is inevitably singled out whenever there's talk of a hack, particularly in this country. Is that fair in your view?
They've certainly been active, and stealing intellectual property has been one of the areas of focus for them. Also gathering information from an intelligence perspective. So they do have great capabilities.
Would you regard China as the most sophisticated user of these sorts of attacks?
They certainly are a sophisticated user. It's hard to say who's the most sophisticated, but they've been very successful.
CrowdStrike founder and CEO George Kurtz speaking with Tom Higgledon.